Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We will have Predators General Manager David Poile coming up for his final visit of the season at 8 o'clock. Normally at 8.30, some scheduling conflicts today, so 8 o'clock we'll be joined by David Poile coming up. So looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, as you know, we are less than 2 weeks away from the draft. It is a week away from this Thursday, and we will have made it to the NFL draft. And I would describe this time of year as peak misinformation season in the NFL. There's lots of speculation going around about teams, what they're going to do with picks, who they're interested in, especially near the top of the draft, and who could be trading out and who could be staying put as to where they're picking right now in the draft. And a lot of conversation around the Houston Texans right now. We've discussed the quarterback part of this, and you know, there's the thought out there that, you know, maybe they don't love C.J. Stroud, or they don't want to deal with C.J. Stroud's agent, and maybe that's why they won't take him if he's available at number two overall. Some other speculation is they just don't like C.J. Stroud, and they don't want to take him at number two overall. And I was looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook odds. I mean, forever, it's been some combination of Bryce Young number one, C.J. Stroud number two, or the other way around throughout this draft process. The betting favorite for number one overall pick right now is Bryce Young at minus 1,000 odds. So that's a heavy favorite for Bryce Young to go number one overall. Will Anderson is now the favorite for the number two overall pick at plus 200, ahead of C.J. Stroud at plus 250. So Will Anderson, now the betting favorite, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, to go number two overall, which is currently occupied by the Houston Texans. And Nick Caserio spoke yesterday, GM of the Texans, and talked about being open for business and will be listening if teams want to trade up to pick number two. And Adam Schefter got on SportsCenter yesterday and said that he thinks that there is legitimate belief around the league that the Texans will trade out of the number two pick. So what do you make of this situation with Houston, where they're at in the draft right now, and whether or not they're truly considering trading out at number two and passing on one of those quarterbacks?
Well, it's just like, to me, it's I guess it's the converse of the conversation we've been having a lot, which is if you believe that quarterback X is your quarterback, then do what you have to do to get him. If you believe that after Bryce Young, none of these quarterbacks are quarterback X, okay, then do something else. I mean, you could be terrible next year and get Caleb Williams. Like, they could suck enough next year to,
oh, yeah.
So trade back and get, I mean, I would hate the idea of sticking there and drafting Will Anderson. You got to then get more picks. I mean, I think Will Anderson would be a good player. Don't get me wrong, but with that pick, if you're not picking your quarterback of the future, then I think you have to bail out of there and get more draft capital. And so I could see it. I think this quarterback group is Bryce Young and everybody else. So I understand it if that's the way it goes. It's a bit stunning just because all along we've just assumed they're going to take one of these guys. But if you don't believe any of those guys are worth that, then don't do it. I get it. Let your guy Davis Mills, you know, maybe he'll have a Jalen Hurts like emergence into greatness next year.
Maybe he will. The more we can see of Davis Mills,
yeah,
better off we're all.
Is it that much of a stretch to think Davis Mills could be good next year?
Come on. I don't think anything involved with him is that much of a stretch.
That's right.
I mean, interested to see how that goes. Like when you're further back in the draft, right? When you're where the Titans are at number 11. Like, I understand the speculation of moving around, and you know, you want to go get a quarterback, so trying to find a way to move up or maneuver the draft. Like, if you're the Texans, you already have the number two pick. So, like, if they absolutely wanted a quarterback, do you think they would really be considering moving out of number two? I mean, you always listen, right? And you try to figure out if there's a deal you just can't refuse, then you make the deal. But if the bottom line is, to me, like, if you have the number two pick and you know that Carolina's taking a quarterback at number one, like, if you loved another one of these quarterbacks, like, you're not trading out of that pick if you're Houston at that point.
Sure.
So if they're seriously considering this, I mean, that would tell me that they don't love any of these other quarterbacks outside of Bryce Young.
Well, look, Richardson and Levis, polarizing, right? For sure. All across the board. So I'm sure there are teams out there who are like, we must have both of them, like here and there. And there's plenty of teams who are out on both of them. Stroud, I mean, the S2 stuff is, it's here to stay.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about it every year. And apparently he didn't do great. I have not seen a number. I saw somebody tweet like 80 or something, but that could have been like some fake account. I don't know. Who knows? Man. I have not seen anything solid on what he did, but the reporting's pretty clear that it wasn't mind blowing. Like obviously Bryce Young is the best score that I've seen, better than Burrow. And then I think Richardson and Levis both did well, I think, right? I mean, in the 90s. I believe that's right. And so Stroud is a bit, behind them. How much does that really matter? I mean, if you're, let's say it was 80. Like, okay, that still means that you're better than 80% of people who take the tests. And so that's really good. But it's not elite. How much does that matter in the entire evaluation? He's a tremendously accurate passer. He has all the traits, athletically and everything like that. But I mean, that's hugely important. The processing, I mean, that's the thing. We could go back in time and test all of the great quarterbacks with this test and then have that database and look at the picture. I think it might kind of tell you. I mean, I know Drew Brees has gone back and taken it, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's elite.
He's pretty good.
So, but we don't have that. I mean, moving forward, is that going to be a huge thing in this? I don't know.
I wonder what Brady's score would be. 99?
103, even though that's impossible. Well, I'm sure it would be elite.
Yeah.
It's as simple as just like how quickly do you process information? How much can you avoid, distraction control? I love that one. I sucked at that test, by the way.
Yep.
I mean, these things are, they're going to matter. I don't know that they should matter like, 50% of the evaluation of the player.
Yep.
But that is, at that position, it's kind of a big deal.
And by the way, there, reports yesterday that Bryce Young has canceled the rest of his pre-draft visits with other teams, leading to speculation that Carolina said, hey, man,
they've told him,
we're taking you number one overall. Which, I mean, look, it wouldn't be the first time that happened. I want to say Joe Burrow had the Bengals playbook before the draft ever happened at that point. So sometimes you just know, like Trevor Lawrence was going to be the first overall pick. Joe Burrow was going to be the first overall pick. It hadn't quite been that way with Bryce Young, at least the way that we viewed it. But if he's canceled visits to other teams, I mean, wouldn't that kind of tell you that the Panthers are like, yeah, man, we're taking you?
And you can't tell me this isn't kind of – I mean, it feels like a change because, again, I was in Columbus for Pro Day. Their owner was there.
Yeah.
They had everybody in the freaking organization of the Panthers at Ohio State's Pro Day. It wasn't to watch Paris Johnson Jr. do pass sets.
It was not.
I mean, Stroud's family was there, and it was like, oh, okay, so they're taking Stroud. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And now they're not. So, okay. So let's say then Stroud's plummeting a little bit. What do the Titans feel about C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, William from Madison on the text line says, Houston may think they can get the quarterback at the 12th pick. Maybe. I mean, I don't know what quarterback – specifically we're talking about. I mean, there'll be one available at 12, I would assume. Like, I doubt Hendon Hooker's going before pick number 12, but, maybe if you're Houston, it's like, we just don't like any of these quarterbacks outside of Bryce Young enough to pick them where we need to pick them, and you pick a player that maybe is really good for you on the defensive side of the ball, and next year you go get your quarterback in the draft that way. I mean, like you said, if they run it back and they've got Davis Mills as their quarterback, even if they – let's say they stayed at 2 and they picked a Will Anderson or whoever. He's probably a good player, but he's not going to move the needle for you that much in terms of wins and losses next year for the Texans. So maybe that is their plan, is they're already looking at 2024 and the quarterback's there. But it's interesting that we've penciled them in as taking a quarterback this whole time, and now here we are just a week before the draft, and there seems to be momentum that the Texans are going a different route here, which – the C.J. Stroud fall here has been pretty interesting because, I mean, like 2 weeks ago, he was a heavy favorite to be number one overall on FanDuel. Like, he's like minus 650 odds, and Bryce Young was like plus 300. So I hope you got that while you could have.
Yeah, but yeah.
It has changed dramatically in the last couple weeks.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, like, to Williams. Like, here's the thing. Like, if if you would take someone at 12, then okay, this is the future of the franchise. This is our guy.
Then why wouldn't you at 2?
Yeah, then you do it earlier then, you know? Or
why even risk losing it?
Exactly.
If you love the quarterback that much that you take him at 12, why would you risk somebody else passing you up and getting them at that point?
Right. If you're ever drafting a quarterback where it's like, he's there. Sure. Come on. Let's give it a shot. Then don't do it.
Especially unless the first round.
Right. Yeah. Like the Titans did that last year in the third round.
Right. That's different.
Some people were so excited about that.
They were. There's also another part of this. You know, if Houston does this, this makes it a really interesting decision for another team in this division, not named the Tennessee Titans, and we'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Join myself from 10 to noon this Saturday for another Kubota field event at the Coleman Tractor in White House for their biggest sales event of the year. You can demo Kubota tractors, zero-tone mowers, and more. That's Coleman Tractor of White House, located at 3613 Highway 31 West. Coming up this Saturday, looking forward to seeing you out there from 10 to 12, as I'll be there then. I think they got some barbecue sandwiches out there too, so looking forward.
Nice.
Do that. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, we've discussed the Houston Texans and their different options at number two and maybe some hesitancy to take a quarterback at number two if you're Houston. Could they trade out? Could they stay at number two and pick a defensive player? And if so, what does that mean for where the quarterbacks are going to land in the draft? Obviously, Indianapolis right now is at pick four, and we have assumed all along that they're going to take a quarterback. It makes sense for them to take a quarterback, but could they have an opportunity without even having to trade up to have their choice of C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson? And Adam Schefter thinks that's exactly what Indianapolis is thinking. He was on NFL Live yesterday and said, quote, "I think Indianapolis thinks there's a real chance right now that they could sit right where they are at four and get potentially the second quarterback in this draft. There's a chance we might not see a quarterback go at two or even three, and there might not be a team that trades up because the value in that isn't what we thought it would be." This is what Schefter had to say yesterday on NFL Live. So what do you make of the idea of Indy maybe thinking that they can hang out at four and have their pick of Stroud, Richardson, or Levis without having to move up at all?
Okay, so that would require Houston to take, I guess, Will Anderson.
Yeah, and then Arizona to, I guess, not trade out.
And then Arizona, who would they take at three other than trading? I don't think this is realistic. I don't think this is realistic. Like, they're going to trade out, right?
I mean,
at least one of them is going to trade out, right? Like, they're not both sticking and picking non-quarterbacks.
I would be very surprised now, but what if Schefter says it's true? Like, think about how much it's going to cost to trade up to number two or trade up to number three. We've talked about that as it relates to the Titans. Well, if teams out there kind of share the belief that maybe Stroud isn't what they thought he was, and you know, the question marks of Richardson and Levis – like, I guess I could see a remote possibility where nobody does that. But how many times do we say it, Joe? All it takes is one team for somebody to get enamored with a quarterback and move up. I'd be pretty surprised if nobody traded up to two and three.
Right. Like, I feel like there's somebody who is going to be enamored enough with Richardson to get in there. Like the Raiders or, you know, somebody.
Maybe the Titans.
Maybe. But that'd be wild. Because I can't even come up with – like, okay, Will Anderson. So I can't come up with the Cardinals pick. Who's the Cardinals pick? If they just stay there, and be like, who would that be?
You can go Tyree Wilson high. I don't know.
I guess Tyree Wilson goes number three overall. Yeah.
Darnell Wright.
There you go.
Need a right tackle. Number three overall pick.
And then Hooker. How about
maybe
that?
So.
Yeah, that's a wild one. I mean, I'm all about the hypothetical scenarios, especially where – I mean, we're closing in on almost just a week out from the draft, so let them fly. But, yeah, that one's tough. Someone is going to – I mean, I still think people are going to pick quarterbacks, like boom, 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 at the top. Somebody's going to move in there, you know? But I could see one of those picks being a non-quarterback. I could see, I guess, if someone loves Will Anderson enough.
Yeah. I mean, like, Arizona at three, like, they want to trade out. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that.
Yes.
Like, they want to trade out, and they want to get rid of that pick and get more assets so they can have more picks and kind of take their defensive guy or whoever they're going to take a little bit later in the draft. Like, if you're the betting favorite to move up to number three is still Indy. So there's the, I guess, the thought that they're going to have to move up in order to get the quarterback that they want at that point. And then there's the Titans in there too. Like, it's still Houston, if they don't take a quarterback and they trade out, it doesn't really change the equation for the Titans that much. Like, Houston's not trading with the Titans, and they're probably not trading with the Colts either. So either way, like, whether Houston took the quarterback or somebody else moved up to take the quarterback, you're still talking about Young and whoever being off the board at that point. So it doesn't really change the equation for the Titans or the Colts all that much. Like, if you want your pick after that, you probably need to, in order to guarantee it, move up to number three and whatever that would take to get it with Arizona. So, like, the Houston part of this, I don't think changes it a ton for the Titans or the Colts. The way it would change it is that if they hung there and then didn't take a quarterback, that's when it would change with the Titans and the Colts.
Yeah. I just, if the Colts are seriously like, oh, yeah, we're good, kick our feet up, we'll get QB2, someone's going to jump ahead of them, and it'll be funny.
Yeah, it will be funny. Maddie on the text line says, maybe this devaluing of quarterbacks will lower the cost to move up and drive teams on the fence to pull the trigger. This from Maddie on the text line. So maybe lowering the cost that it would take to move up to two or three.
Lots of jostling.
It's a lot of jostling. I still...
It's going to be costly.
It's going to be costly. Like, you know, what's it going to... Let's say the Titans wanted to move up to three from 11. What does that cost you? First rounder, pick number 41 overall this year, next year's first rounder, next year's third rounder.
Something like
that. At a minimum?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all this talk right now about devaluing quarterbacks, it's what happens. It's talk. Once it comes down to a phone call, like, you want to get in this spot? Okay. No one cares what we just talked about this week. Here's the price. I mean, if you want to get in there, here you go. And, you know, and by the way, five other teams are trying to call me right now. So, it's interesting, though. I mean, it's like the Stroud thing is interesting to me just because I've kind of thought of him all along as QB2.
Yep.
Again, I put him slightly ahead of Hooker. I don't think there's a huge gap between those two. But I don't know, man. There seems to be some. And again, sometimes this stuff is fake momentum.
Yep.
But I don't know that that's what we're seeing right now.
Well, remember, I mean, go back a few weeks ago, and maybe a couple months ago at this point, you know, TD put it out there that the Titans, I mean, they like C.J. Stroud. Now, you know, obviously they've had a lot of more information to gather since then, so I wonder what their thought would be. But let's say it goes the way that Schefter thinks it might, and that is, you know, Bryce Young goes number one and Houston stays at two and they pick Will Anderson or whoever. Like, if you're the Titans, you know, we've talked about Richardson and Levis a lot. Like, do you like C.J. Stroud enough where you're like, yeah, we got to go do it? Like, that's the move we have to go make and go up to number three and go get him. I mean, I've not really considered until recently C.J. Stroud even really being a possibility for the Titans because you thought he was going one or two. But if he's there at three, is that enough to push you over the edge to move up if you're the Titans?
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, it's interesting because so the Titans have had visits from what, Levis, Hooker, Richardson.
Yep.
Not Stroud.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they don't like him as much or that they just have kind of dismissed the idea that they could even get him?
It's a great question. I mean, look, like you said, going back to the deputy mayor at Ohio State, he's got a lot of information on C.J. Stroud, I would assume.
That is true.
So, I mean, they went to the pro day. Now, like you've talked about, going to a pro day is one thing. Like, that's a lot of people go to a pro day. Using one of your visits on a quarterback to bring him into your facility is a different thing,
and
which is what they did with Anthony Richardson yesterday.
Right, and those opportunities also are, like, you meet everybody in the building, and so you get a whole bunch of opinions and impressions from people you work with that don't go to the pro day. That
yep.
This is their only opportunity to do that. I mean, like, strength staff, everybody, like, so that's important too. Just from that, I mean, pool all the impressions, all the conversations, information. What did you all think? So even though Vrabel, yeah, got all the information he needs, that's still an important thing.
Ricky on the text line says, just remember Zach Wilson moved up the charts too, LOL. Hooker is the Lamar Jackson of this draft. Grab him. This from Ricky on the text line. So I guess, I mean, not Lamar Jackson in terms of jump, the back end of the draft.
Yep, jump in at the,
jump in the first.
At the end of the first to grab him if you like him. If you were going to take him the second, go up late in the first and get him. I think
that's going to happen. Whether it's with the Titans or somebody else, like the fifth-year option part of it for Hooker just makes too much sense where, I mean, if it works out to have that fifth-year option to get the quarterback, somebody's going to move up and get him in the first round.
Yeah, especially if, yeah, especially considering that, you know, the ACL means that even if you would, even if you're in a situation where you could use him to play as a rookie, you may not be able to.
Alex from Montreal says it would be cool to see C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, and Levis all in the AFC South.
Wouldn't it though?
There's a chance.
There is.
Maybe it's just smoke and mirrors from Houston. Maybe they just want to get people calling and offering them stuff. See what they like better. The idea of one of these quarterbacks or trading out and get a ton of picks. But again, if you like the quarterback, why would you mess around with it?
Yeah. JC says, Jason Goodlitzville, any chance someone pulls a 1979 Boston Celtic draft of Larry Bird to go get the rights to Joe Milton for 2024? Oh, if only things still work that way. That's a good reference, JC.
It'd be beautiful.
Draft Joe Milton right now. Just claim his rights.
That could be the Texans' plan. They may look around and say, you know what, man? Let's just hold off a year.
This dude can throw it to Dallas.
Everybody's worried about Caleb Williams and Drake May. Got Joe Milton coming in here. Next quarterback of the Houston Texans. That'd be something. 615-737. Go ahead.
Ty says, Hooker was good, but he missed way too many intermediate routes, just like Dobbs. He's a backup. Hooker's accuracy on those and really any route was quite a bit better than Joshua Dobbs in college.
Yeah, 70% completion percentage last year.
Yeah, he was good on intermediate routes. I mean, I know he missed a few.
Yeah.
He wasn't 100%.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the NFL draft. Get more of your thoughts on the quarterbacks in the draft coming up next, including Anthony Richardson visiting with the Tennessee Titans yesterday. What does it mean, and how realistic of an option is he for the Titans as they move ahead to this draft coming up next week? More on that coming up next. Speaking of the draft, make sure you tune in to Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5, 106.3 The Game for the first three rounds on Thursday, April 27th and Friday, April 28th. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, thenewcumberland.com, Smoky Mountain Tops, Parman Energy, and B&B Flooring. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You can join Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders as they broadcast live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, on Thursday, April 27th. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poyle coming up at 7:30. So looking forward to that conversation with him, our final visit with David Poyle for this season. So looking forward to that. Adam in Portland on the text line says, rumor is that Joe Milton broke his arm as a child and fused it back together extra tight during the healing process, causing him to be able to throw the ball 475 yards flat-footed.
Nice.
Hashtag rookie of the year. What a great movie in the 90s.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Good call, Adam.
Very well done from Adam in Portland. So, Joe, Anthony Richardson visiting the Titans yesterday as one of their top 30 visits in the draft process. We talked about the Will Levis visit last week. Obviously, they've had visits from other positions as well, but the quarterbacks will get the lion's share of the conversation when you talk about the visits pre-draft with the Tennessee Titans. So Hooker has come in, Will Levis has had a visit with the Titans, and now Anthony Richardson completing his visit as well. Now Richardson has got a busy week. I think he's got two more visits this week with the Raiders and the Falcons, I believe. So Anthony Richardson obviously garnering a lot of interest out there. We know what the ability looks like. It's been very funny to listen to our friend Jared Stillman. He is sold on Anthony Richardson at this point.
He's just all in.
He's all in on Anthony Richardson.
I guess I need to listen to Jared more often than, you know, never.
But he is
Wish sold. I listened yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes. Excuse me, it's the Titans, Falcons, and Ravens. He's already visited with the Raiders. So
I'd rather talk about Peter Skoronski's visit.
Would you?
Can we get into that a little bit?
Peter, what do you like better, left tackle or left guard? Tell us about your past.
It's so much more fun when you have quarterbacks to talk about.
It really is. But Anthony Richardson in there yesterday, and, you know, it was interesting. I was listening yesterday to Jared, and he was talking about, you know, Rick Spielman joined him on his XM show. And, you know, he gave a very GM answer of like, well, if the Titans, like if you're the Titans and you love Anthony Richardson enough, you do whatever it takes to go get him. You know, the draft picks that we've talked about, whatever it costs, you go get him if you love Anthony Richardson enough. Now, he didn't say whether or not he would love Anthony Richardson enough, but the talent is undeniable. A lot of what this comes down to is if you're the Titans or if you're another team out there, whoever it is, and you're looking at Anthony Richardson, how quickly do you think you can bring him along? And as you look at the physical ability, does everything else line up? Like does the mental part of the game, the leadership, all the things that are away from the physical talent, because I think everybody can see the physical talent, does everything else line up to where you're comfortable making that pick if you're another team out there?
Yes, and so far, everything I'm seeing is teams are loving him in interviews, and the cognitive testing was really good. S2 cognition.
Yep.
Give the shout-out to the Nashville-based company that, you know, all of a sudden everybody in the NFL is talking about every day now. So those things are good. The talent's there. The football performance wasn't consistent.
It was not.
Any team that takes him has to think absolute redshirt year, must have that year, and then year two. You think back to like McNair, 2 years. Like that was a plan. 2 years. Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore.
It's wild to think about now.
It is wild. That's not happening. So yeah, so that was what, 95 and 96, those two seasons, right? Yeah, and then he started playing in 97, basically.
Although J Lo has sit 3 seasons. Jordan Love.
So. Yeah, well, Aaron Rodgers, was it year 6? Yeah, I mean, sometimes that stuff happens. I think it's 1 year, and you hope that, and you still probably expect, you know, year two that for there to be some growing pains. But if it all comes together for him, I mean, it's going to be something to watch. I'm excited for Anthony Richardson wherever he goes, and obviously if it's here, it'll be something else. You know, I'm trying to think back, like when Mariota, I wasn't here when he was drafted, but I know back then there was a lot more of knocking quarterbacks from different systems.
Yep. And
certainly for him and that Chip Kelly offense, look to the sideline, here's a picture of a bag of pretzels. So, yeah. You know, now read one half of the field and, you know, run around. And I don't think that Mariota's career, I mean, obviously Mariota wasn't the player he was supposed to be, but like that narrative didn't stick, right?
No.
But I feel like he was a much more still believed to be polished player. I mean, he won the Heisman.
Right.
He was a great player in college. So probably a lot more certainty that it was going to work out. If Richardson is the draft pick here, I mean, a lot of fans will be excited about the idea of getting a quarterback that high and everything. And the talent and anybody who watched him at Florida, if you really watched him week after week, you saw enough good, like some incredibly good, to be excited. But there'd also be a lot of, like, how many quarterbacks have been great in the NFL who weren't great in college?
Yeah, it's a great question. And like the Richardson part of this, we bring up the Tennessee game a lot because he looked great in that game. And, you know, he threw for like 400 against Vanderbilt or whatever it was, and they lost the game anyway. But like the one that sticks out to me, like the Utah game and some of the plays he made in that game were just incredible. And that to me was like a perfect example of the athleticism and all that he brings to the table. I mean, he had the big run against LSU, too, where he just trucked over like four people and then ran down the sideline and tiptoed. It was awesome. Like, it's clear what he can do there. Like, to me, if you're the Titans or if you're the Colts or whoever, and like all the other stuff matches up, like you feel good about his approach, you feel good about his leadership, you feel good about his attitude, all those things, like, is it not worth the risk based on the ability level that we all believe is there physically? Like, I think it would be. I think it'd be worth that risk. That's just me. I'm interested to see whether or not they agree.
You and Jared, Team AR. Good to know.
Maybe I'm just rooting for it because it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, for us. I mean, selfishly, it would be Amazing. LD asked, didn't Vince Wenya have a poor cognitive score? I mean, you're probably talking about the Wonderlic.
It was the Wonderlic,
but
yeah.
But
there's a lot made of that.
The Wonderlic is like if you know, if you're on a train going 20 miles an hour and then someone offers you four apples or I don't know, it's not cognitive testing, you know? Like this is, let's test your brain and how quickly you can process information flying at you. Those are written questions. The Wonderlic is dead. Wonderlic means nothing now. Thomas says, call me crazy, but Levis is the move. I think his ceiling is Justin Herbert. Worst case floor is Zach Wilson. Well, if it's going to be swing. Zach Wilson, that would suck. You do not want that.
Oh, man. Chris on the text line says, Mariota wasn't the quarterback he was supposed to be, Joe. What other quarterback do you know that threw a touchdown to himself?
That's a fair point. In a playoff win.
In a playoff game.
I mean, he threw a winning touchdown pass that day to Eric Decker, too, by the way. So, got to give him some props. But I appreciate
someone. Not a big
someone.
Eric Decker fan?
Wow. He's fine. His wife's a pretty good singer.
Yeah. Looked good with Peyton Manning for a little while in Denver.
Wait, Decker. What? Oh, yeah. Right.
He did play
with Peyton
Manning.
I thought you were talking about her. I'm like, wait, what?
I don't think that she played with Peyton in Denver.
I was all of a sudden, I thought it was like a People episode of Entertainment Weekly.
That's what Thomas brings up with Levis is what makes this so interesting because, especially with Levis and Richardson, there's just such a wild difference in opinion on those two as to what they can be at the NFL level. And like, if the Titans drafted one of those two, I mean the difference in reaction, like the day after, of people who love it and people who just hate it would be awesome. Like I'm heavily pulling for selfishly them to draft one of Levis or Richardson just for our sake. It'd be great.
Yeah, well, and I think that Levis would be way tilted to the negative, I think.
I agree.
Whereas Richardson
for a little bit. Now I also think
that then people would talk themselves into it.
People would talk themselves into it after a certain amount of time. They're like, well, let me tell you, look at that arm, man. He can sling it out there. And we'd hear, I mean, the name Josh Allen would come up here on this, here on the program.
I mean, how many people just on this WHMR tucked themselves into, A.J. Brown, you know, I can see that. I get it.
Made that trade, too.
But that's the thing. If Richardson is the pick, you know, because I did love Jared's just complete meltdown on Caleb Farley. The opposite of that. If they do this, like he will absolutely, he will cry tears of joy on the. I'm here for that.
I am too, especially like if the Titans trade up to three, and I still don't think that's likely. But if they trade up to three, and give up that much to go get like Anthony Richardson, that's a heck of a move for Rand Carthon in year one.
It is.
I mean, you're coming in, you're taking a new job, and you're starting the clock immediately.
But let's also remember, if that's the case, and that's the first thing you think of is Rand Carthon, but also it's obviously Vrabel.
Yeah.
Rand Carthon isn't coming here and say, sorry, Vrabes, I know you like Peter Skoronski. Nah, we're going to get AR step aside, Vrabes.
For sure.
So that's also Vrabel. I mean, they're together in this. That's the thing. When you have a situation like this, then it's a Vrabel decision too.
They're collaborating?
Yes, exactly. They're collaborating and starting the clock. I mean, even though Vrabel's been here, but it's like, okay, this works out or else.
Yeah, well, we heard Rand Carthon when he was first introduced as GM for the Titans. He said it, and I mean, it's not a groundbreaking statement, but in this league, you get hired and fired with the quarterback, and for your first draft to just go all in and get the quarterback, especially if you move up to do it, that's a heck of a way to start. I'm here for it. I'm rooting for it.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. You also get fired if you don't have a quarterback.
Yep.
So at some point, you got to get one.
Exactly. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
So Jerry Stackhouse tweeted me the little clown emoji. And this literally happened right before the show. I mean, I'm getting ready to go on. I'm eating my salad. And Jerry Stackhouse tweets me the clown emoji. Well, you know, look, I take a lot of flack from a lot of people. I ain't taking it from Jerry Stackhouse. You know, a guy who has come in here and has not won jack. And I am not going to let Jerry Stackhouse make a trip to the NIT quarterfinals look like an accomplishment worth bragging about, trying to take a lap on me. So I quote tweeted it. And I said to old Jerry, hey, congratulations. I said, hey, Jerry, good luck trying to make the tournament next season. Maybe the fifth time will be the charm. To which he sarcastically replied, ouch, with a clown emoji. Let me say this. First of all, I'm a little offended. Not at the clown emoji or anything like that. But I was the one guy who had Vandy's back when it came tournament selection time.
Nah, I wish I could listen to more of that.
God. There was a lot.
He was the one guy. Willie Donick had him in the Final Four. What are you talking about?
Nobody else had Vandy at the tourney.
Yeah, the entire city wasn't screaming they should be in or anything. I mean, that last thing right there is actually a nice little glimpse. Like, what happens to Jared's brain? What happens? There's information. There's agreed upon facts that we all share, and then you somehow distort them and create your own reality. How?
Oh, man. God, that was awesome.
Okay, so let's, for anybody who isn't, I think I can, first of all, a bunch of people texted me yesterday.
Yes.
You guys did.
Vingan. You're welcome.
Yeah. No, yeah, I got some texts with the Jared tweet situation, because, of course, I've muted Jared on Twitter. But sometimes it is worth unmuting for a few moments to enjoy life, which I did yesterday. Okay, so basically my understanding of this is, Tennessee Sports Writers Association named Jerry Stackhouse its
coach of the year.
Men's basketball
coach of the year.
Coach of the year.
Yeah.
Wasn't clearly, I guess, stated on the tweet.
It was not.
So Jared went and had a, how does it not give it a Josh Heupel? Yeah. Which, hey, you know, there you go. Jared. GB Jared. But, and I think
the men's basketball account replied to Jared.
And then
said,
the men's basketball account replied
to him.
Love
you, but this is a men's basketball award. And Jared said, it does not say that anywhere in your post or at the top of your release. If it's a basketball award, I'm cool with it. And that's when Jerry Stackhouse responded with the clown emoji.
Okay, so that response from Jared prompted the clown emoji.
That is correct.
Yeah. So first of all, Vanderbilt men's basketball, you don't need to say love you to Jared. Just, you know, just you can rip him without the pleasantries, okay? So a few things here. Again, like Jared, like the alternate reality that Jared lives in is sometimes amusing, sometimes a little bit alarming. But I got to say, I can't think of another coach who would engage in something like this.
I can't either.
I can't think of a college, high major, you know, whatever, college football, basketball, pro, whatever coach. Now, I think in the early days of Twitter, here and there, you might have seen, maybe I saw like Tom Crean get into it with fans. You know, like it used to happen a little bit, but I think it's kind of like we've kind of moved into an era where it's like, and honestly, I kind of do this now too. Just don't feed the trolls.
Well, there's that, and there's like we're in a big burner account era too, with like players and coaches having burner accounts that they do these things on.
But well, yeah. That's true, and Jerry Stackhouse has been accused of that. By the way, is this Jerry Stackhouse's burner account? Foodie Seth at Summit Seth has tweeted us now. We had some tweet. You tweeted about like talking about CJ Stroud. He said, "Who cares? Fire at Jared Stillman." And then
he has been all morning.
And then
I must have muted this person. I haven't seen it.
And then this. Oh, have you already muted him?
Yeah.
Because this looks like a kind of a new account. And then you had a tweet about discussing the draft, and he said again, "Fire at Jared Stillman."
There you go.
Foodie Seth has 5 followers. Says, good eats, good times, good politics, raise lions, not lambs. Jerry, is that your burner?
Jerry.
Are you saying fire Jared Stillman because of this little feud with Jerry Stackhouse? Again, I'll say, I mean, honestly, it's too easy to make fun of Jared. It's almost like I can't even do it anymore, you know? I must say, like, Jerry Stackhouse got to stop doing this stuff.
Yeah,
it's just don't even do it. I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, I like the clown emoji. It's kind of funny. But also, like, just don't bother.
Well, this it's like, it's one thing if this was like a one-time thing with him, right? Like, it's – look, I get it. It's easy to make fun of Jared. We love Jared here on the show. We make fun of Jared all the time.
I'm not going to say that pleasantry. I'm just going to make fun of him.
People take great joy in going after Jared on Twitter, which I'm here for. That's fine with me. Knock yourself out. But I did see that yesterday, and after I, you know, stopped laughing over the just comedy of the whole situation, I did think to myself, like, huh, that is like an SEC men's basketball coach just going after somebody on Twitter for no reason. Just the clown emoji. You know, I enjoyed it, but I can't see that. I can't think of anybody else in that position that I've seen doing this.
We're wrong. JC is right. Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin does it. That is true.
Lane Kiffin does it. I think it's funny as heck.
But he's more of like a...
He's more troller. He'll go out of his way and troll, like, troll Tennessee fans.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. So, yeah, this from Jerry, kind of like, eh, laugh at you, clown emoji, that's fine.
Yeah.
Earlier, it was more like he would get angry and say angry, kind of mean stuff. Like, don't do that. And especially sometimes it's like Vanderbilt fans who are mad at you. Just, you know what? Win games and leave it alone. If you're going to have some fun with people, clown emojis, that's fine.
Yeah.
And, Lane has made an art of it. That's a great point, JC. Anybody else?
Lane is also trolled on his dog account, which is amazing as well.
He's got a dog account?
Oh, yes. You guys haven't seen Lane Kiffin's dog account?
No, I can't.
The dog's name is something with an L, and it's Kiffin. That's amazing. Fitting.
That's awesome. I didn't know that he had two accounts.
Oh, yeah. It's great out there, that account.
Oh, man.
So I don't know if this is the same, if this account says Chris McEwen, fire Stillman. I don't know if that means you're the holder of the Twitter account, but yeah. Maybe Joel says Jared's go-to is back me up, Ian. I feel bad for Ian often. Me too, Joel.
He does go to Ian a lot. Ian, back me up.
And poor Ian's like, what am I going to do? I mean, Michelle has to, you know, kind of be nice to us, right? I mean, you can't just rip us all the time.
Just when Kentucky conversations come up, that's my one.
But I got to say, like, I thoroughly enjoyed this yesterday. And, you know, look, Jared, at the end of the season last year, he came to, like, Stackhouse defense. He's like, you know, Stackhouse done a good job. I bet that's over with now. I mean, this is now a feud.
I don't know.
Between Stackhouse and Stillman.
You got to be a professional, Jared. You know, you can't let personal feelings get in the way.
Should have gone with clown emoji back, though. Like, if you're going to respond to him and quote tweet, you know, talking about how maybe fifth time's a charm, you got to throw the clown emoji back in there.
Is Jared an emoji guy? As someone who doesn't, who has muted him on Twitter, I wouldn't know.
I don't think there's a ton of emojis that he uses now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the Stackhouse responding to him twice is pretty good. The clown emoji originally, and then the ouch and the clown emoji after that.
Ouch.
Doubling down.
And by the way, here's another clown emoji for you.
Just so you, in case you're wondering, here's another clown.
And then he got a whole segment on Jared's show. So.
Yeah. Maybe that's what he was going for. I don't know. Beautiful stuff. A little feuding yesterday.
Well, I hope Jerry still comes on your show, Michelle, even after all this.
Nope, he does.
Even after WHMR turned on him.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poile. We'll get his thoughts on the end of the season and our final visit with David Poile and his role as Predators General Manager. So looking forward to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.